Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, 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 what's up, world? It's Badass Thuggin' like I usually do. And you better turn it up, bust some speakers out, cause we off the motherfucking cuff. You dig how we do it? Dog Pound Gangsters 2000 and beyond. Yo, yo, check this out. This is your girl, Cola Boat, and I'm chilling with my boys right here on Off the Cuff Radio. Cause we off the cuff right now. You dig?
Bet.
What's up? It's your boy Lil Yacht from UNLV, ragging up from the river, cooling with my homies and my family at Off the Cuff Radio. Y'all be sure to tune in on Fridays and get the latest scoop and find out what's happening. You hear me?
Tiffany Levine.
And this Queen Crazy, your girl's favorite bartender.
And we're from
Sex on the Rocks podcast.
Alright, you're now tuning in to Off the Cuff Radio.
Yeah, because they keep representing that world hip hop. Yo, much love.
Alright. Y'all, this is Princess Daisy giving a shout out to King Eric and Off the Cuff Radio. Keep doing your thing, puppy.
Hey y'all, this is Rachel Lachey giving a shout out to King Eric and Off the Cuff Radio.
What's shaking, y'all? This is the Grand, one half of Lost Cause and one third of that Drive Time thing. Sending my love to the homies over at Off the Cuff Radio. Tune in every Friday night for some real deal hip hop conversation. These dudes are the connoisseurs of this thing. You already know what it is. BX Stand Up, Hud City, what's shaking? Peace.
Yo, this is Joe Fresh the Dime, and y'all tuned in to the most raw, uncut show on radio, the Guillotine Team, Off the Cuff, and yo, Eric Sandman, off of these clown heads.
If you want. and we are now tuned in to episode 291. What's the deal, y'all? This your boy King A the Great, a.k.a. Red Capo, and you're now tuning in at a very exclusive episode of Off the Cuff Radio, sponsored by Buddy Boy Entertainment and Da Vinci Clothing. And the reason why I wanted to do this show tonight is because it's only right to reach back to one of the people that reached out to us and one of the reasons why Off the Cuff Radio is where it's at now. This man here, he's been hitting y'all with bangers. I'm talking bangers, albums, podcasts, content. He's been keeping y'all enlightened, entertained, and forever keeping y'all informed of what's going on with the world. So let's welcome my good friend, Gonzo, y'all.
Yo, yo, what up?
What's good, man? How's everything been, brother? It's been a minute, man. And we appreciate you taking the time to join us, bro.
Everything good, man. I'm blessed, you know what I'm saying? And I'm not just saying that like most people just say that as a formality. Like, nah, like I'm actually living in the moment. I'm blessed.
So we starting this
you
off here,
right?
Man, like, yeah, you good, man. You good.
Okay.
And starting this off right here, man, with 2020, man. 2020 is starting off real good with you so far, brother.
I mean, yeah, I mean, I'm blessed, man. You know what I'm saying? I'm at the point now to where good or bad, it's just like that shit don't even matter, man. You know what I'm saying? Life is going to be what it is. And I feel like when people are referencing life to being good or bad, that's just how they're receiving it or accepting it, but it's not going nowhere. Feel me? So trying to put a tag on it, good or bad, ain't gonna, you know, it is what it is.
So the reason why I reached out to you is because you dropped the Caution album after 20 years. It's a 20 year reunion going on. How did that come about?
Yes, man, that actually came about. Well, the long story broken down, a few years back, the Loonies had made a resurgence together, and at that time, me and Yuck Mouth, you know, we had probably just had squashed the little beef or whatever, and we was talking, and you know, he just briefly thought that it would be a good idea if I brought the group back, and you know, that's basically where the shit started at, and little by little, you know, until I was actually serious to just do the shit full-fledged. That's basically where the initial idea came from, you know?
About the album title, titled Youth and Asia, what, and the cover, like, what was the create minds behind that?
Well, the youth, you know what I'm saying? They basically killing themselves out here with the opioids, the whole thing with Pac. I just thought it was kind of like right there dangling in my face just to play with, you know, under a few different reasons. The album cover is made by a famous graffiti crew out of Los Angeles called CBS. They like a dope-ass bombing crew. So, I mean, the shit is like, you know, paying homage, excuse me, to the streets of Los Angeles on many different levels, but if you don't know, then you won't see all of that, you know what I mean? But if you know, then again, with a Caution album, it's in-depth to the listener to where, you know, 25 years from now, not to say, you know, that it's going to take us that long to do another project. Actually, we're working on a new project right now that's going to hit in like another 3 months, 4 months, 3 months or some shit. But you know, everything is significant. when it comes to crossing the streets of Los Angeles.
You know what's dope about the album is that from what I've heard, I haven't seen not one bad review of it. I mean, I've been going through all these different bloggers and reviews. A lot of cats is feeling it, man. And y'all bringing that West Coast style, and y'all keeping it fresh. Y'all keeping it creative. And it's not sounding like y'all reinventing the wheel. Y'all pushing the wheel forward.
Yeah, man, I got a shout-out my nigga Mass, got a shout-out the nigga Kingpin, got a shout-out Yuck Mouth, Planet Asia, my nigga Mad Tampa. Everything jailed together nicely, you know what I'm saying, when it came to that. But, of course, man, when you're working with something that's already legendary, it's not really hard to stick to the script. And everybody that I chose to be a part of this project wasn't somebody that I felt sketchy about in the booth. Like, everybody was, you know, even Mass, even though a lot of you cats ain't heard of him or heard his material, he's been around us personally, you know, the regime, or since, like, maybe, I don't know, I don't want to say the first all-out war, but maybe the second one, or may even been the first one, I'm not even sure, but you know, he's been around for a minute, you know what I mean, in terms of battle-tested.
Now, one of my favorite tracks up there on this album is Tekashi's Story with Yuck Mouth. Now, for creative mind purposes, what made you want to get into that, you know, state of storytelling? Because it is like an autobiography written on wax. It's like to show the youngsters not to make this move or make these choices that he made?
Well, yeah. I mean, basically, again, everybody that's on that song is able to push the envelope. You know what I'm saying? So the song was actually done in reverse. You know what I mean? To where that song was called something totally different at first. As a matter of fact, it didn't even have a name. And then I laid my verse, which was fucking hella long. And then I sent it to Mass. He laid his verse, which was a regular medium-sized verse. And then Yuck, when we got it back from him, he had a verse on there that, you know, he was feeling that he just went into the end of the song. And the shit just felt like, you know, we was all talking about the same thing, but just extending the story, and just so happy
right.
We living in the time
right.
of the, you know, in the hip hop industry, the most famous rat of all time. So it just kind of fit like, damn, another thing just right there in my lap. But you know, like putting together albums and shit, man, is another whole art form in itself. And you know, shout out to, first off, Eazy-E, rest in peace, Dr. Dre, Ice Cube, all these sort of people. You know, again, we didn't invent the wheel. We didn't try to reinvent the wheel. This is just that same fucking formula on a smaller scale that cats have heard over and over again from the NWA family tree. You just got to know what you're listening to and what you're listening for, but the same elements are there. On, you know, just on a smaller scale.
But you know what's dope, bro, man, is
what up?
Yeah, what I will say was, you know what's dope, man, is with you and Yuck coming back together, that's like a unifying moment that I feel that we definitely need for the culture, because it's like you two always had great chemistry together when y'all was doing on Wax, when y'all do the All Out War series. You guys always had a good
right.
chemistry, and when y'all two, I ain't gonna lie, man, when I seen y'all two go live together, I'm like, yo, this is a beautiful moment for hip-hop right here.
Man, that's my brother. I feel like, I don't want to sound cliche, but, I mean, we haven't had our biggest moment yet. Like, all this shit was a build-up, and we haven't had our biggest moment yet. You know what I mean? So, for all the true Regime fans, stay tuned. I don't know what's about to happen, you know what I'm saying, but I just feel the momentum building up, and I can guarantee you, as a unit, we haven't had our biggest moment together yet, you know what I'm saying, and it's, you know, I feel like the shit is about to hit the fucking fan, you know what I'm saying, I'm excited, really. Because a lot of bad apples have been weeded out.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? A lot of bad apples have been weeded out. And it's more about, I mean, before, you know what I'm saying, it was more of, I feel like it was a lot of people in the middle that was creating an unnecessary power struggle. You know what I'm saying? That, you know, in the wash, all a nigga got to do is get in the booth and rap. And everything else will be sorted out. But, you know, all the conversation in the middle and everybody having their own projects just created, you know, shit that I feel like that only time could have ironed out or pressed out, you feel me? And we at that point now to where everything is, I feel like, situated. It is nothing to fucking talk about, you feel me? Everybody is at respect with each other, and that's basically what it is. I mean, at least for me, like, I'm not trying to talk to a nigga about nothing, about, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want to, like, nigga, I don't owe nobody no nothing, feel me? And the minute that even comes up, I know that we not there yet, you feel me? But that shit ain't even an issue no more, to where I know we about to see a humongous moment for, you know, just West Coast hip-hop in terms of what the regime was, like, we was getting up to do some big shit, feel me? And that didn't happen at that time. You know how shit is, man. This rap shit is is more about timing and momentum, and sometimes, you know, nigga think that a certain group or a certain artist drop the ball all the time. They just gain the momentum for a certain time to make a breakthrough. Feel me?
Facts. And we need that more, that unification more than ever, because it's just like you mentioned earlier, like, when you had the biggest rat in hip-hop being promoted, and he's coming out probably with an even bigger deal. Do you feel that the morale code is dying in today's era?
Oh, I feel like that shit is gone. It's been gone. It's gone. I mean, it's been gone a long time ago. You know what I mean? It's been gone. The moment that we started putting a totem pole that involved people that wasn't important to the group or wasn't important to the company. Motherfuckers that gotta say so, that's not bringing in no fucking tickets. Motherfuckers, you know, they ain't bringing in no streams. Motherfuckers streaming 100 streams a day, if that. But niggas wanna talk and fuck up the balance of things, you feel me? That's where we
right.
at in hip hop right now. Like, it's like a whole lot of motherfuckers from, I feel like we're insignificant, like Academic. He didn't just start trying to be DJ Academic. Like, he came from somewhere. Feel me? And wherever he came from, he had to take another fucking route. Because that wasn't his first route chosen. And now, you know what I'm saying? This is his contribution to the game. Or 6ix9ine. My opinion, I feel like maybe the nigga was an agent the whole time. And I feel like it's a lot of cats that work with the police and that was sent to infiltrate and spy and cause confusion and just be on some hot shit all together, you know, that causes conflict, like this Pop Smoke situation.
Rest in peace.
Shit, yeah, rest in peace, my nigga. But it's always never coincidental. Like, it's never coincidental, bro. Like, it's never a coincidence. But then niggas could be moving wrong, too. But even that's not a coincidence. You know what I'm saying? A coincidence is a motherfucker just happened to stumble up on your house. You feel me? But, you know, I feel like the state of hip-hop that we are in right now is something that, you know, that we all wish we would wake up from and it was a bad dream in the past, you know?
And you know what, man? And this is what made me salute you in the first time when you was one of the few people to actually defend Tupac's name and speak on this whole WAC 100 situation when a lot of people were silent. But instead of, you know, just disappearing, you kept on going, bro. Like, you kept on hitting cats with dope videos, dope music. Then you started transitioning yourself into the podcasting. And how did the Gonzo Show comes into the equation?
Well, it was this one company that was interested in doing a podcast with me off of that shit that I was doing on my YouTube, how it really happened. The how it really happened shit was getting hella, you know, hundreds of thousands of views, especially the one that I did with For the Culture about the DJ Quick shit. And, you know, it was just kind of like an easy call to start doing the podcast. But again, it's like everything's not for everybody. Everybody can't be a king or a queen. Yes, that shit was successful. A lot of people enjoyed it. But it's only 24 hours in a day. You know what I'm saying? And right at that moment, I had already committed to start working on the Caution album. So I really didn't have, you know, a lot of time to just be doing the podcast all the time. You know what I mean? It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work doing a podcast, especially when you're bringing on guests, coordinating shit, and dealing with other people. You know, it's a whole lot of work, a whole lot of hours, and, you know, time that, you know, if you're working on a few different things, that you could be allotting to something else. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah, it's all about, like, scheduling, working with other people's schedule,
right, right.
Then pressing up the content,
right.
All that stuff.
Right. Right. I mean, you know, it just was I'm going to start it up again soon when time permits, you know what I'm saying, do season two, because I already have 15 episodes up, you know what I'm saying, on all streaming platforms, 15 episodes up, you feel me? We went all the way up to number... think 13 on iTunes podcast charts. So I mean, it was dope. You feel me? Pretty successful show, and we'll be back for season two. But at the same time, I appreciate that. But at the same time, man, there's so much black media out there to where, you know, I don't want to compete for everything. Feel me? Like, I would rather be on Cat's show and give you guys good content, because at the end of the day, you know, again, if you're not giving it your all, it's very, and I couldn't give it my, you know, undivided attention, it's very few, it was a slight chance that it was going to be my main income stream, you feel me? So, it was like one of them things to where trading off, finding out where cats was trying to tap into my content and what was making them repost the shit to YouTube and all that shit, which in turn is a promotion booster for me. You feel me? So I was like, you know what? Let me chill for a second. Let the shit go dormant, and then I'm gonna come back on them and just start giving cats content for their page, letting them eat off the shit, but in turn, I'm getting promotion. You feel me? So it's a win-win. I ain't trying to, you feel me? So we'll see how that works.
Hey, you know I had to shoot this one here to you, man, because, you know, you was one of the first cats that, just like I said earlier, addressed the whole WAC 100 situation, how he talked about Tupac. What was your reaction when you heard the news that he got rocked?
I mean, honestly, the streets kind of knew before the internet knew. So I already knew that, you know, it was a possibility that that nigga was about to be hunted down and slapped on. You know what I'm saying? And another thing, bro, off of the internet shit, everybody involved in this that ain't, like, on some internet shit know that this nigga's a buster, bro. Like, and I ain't even being funny. Like, this nigga ain't no, like, it ain't, it's more frustrating that this nigga got everybody fooled. So, I wasn't surprised, because this nigga's not, like, no squabbler or no, you know what I mean, nigga that's going and looking for no fades. He turning down everything. It was more of a situation of finding him and having a nigga hold still. Feel me? Like, ain't nobody around that nigga because they love him. The only people around that cat is the cat that's in his pocket. You know what I mean? And nothing lasts forever. Feel me? How long can you continue to pay a motherfucker? And those, when you stop paying a motherfucker, the motherfucker that you're scared of that's basically extorting you, those the first motherfuckers to turn your enemy. So that's a dangerous game that he's playing. I've never played it. I've never paid a nigga nothing. Or, you know what I mean? Like, nigga, got me super fucked up. Like, even playing that, that's like a buster's game to even be played with. And it's so dangerous because the first motherfuckers that turn on you is going to be the motherfuckers that you're scared of and you're paying. You feel me? So, you know, God bless the guy. You feel me? I don't know the nigga, man. I don't got nothing even against the nigga. Except he was talking about my dead homie. Other than that, man, I don't give a fuck. Like, why would I care that this nigga even, like, I don't care. I didn't know nothing. Met the nigga one time 15, 20 years ago. Feel me? 5 minutes. Hi, what up, my nigga? I don't know. That's it. Feel me? But I don't give a fuck about WAC 100 one way or another. And, you know, it didn't have to be him. It was just a nigga, period, on the earth disrespecting the dead homie. Period.
It was bound to come sooner or later, especially when he was going out there saying the things about Nipsey, and that was just fresh. So that was bound to happen.
Man, listen to me. Niggas be dumb as a box of rocks, my nigga. Smart in one area and straight dumb as fuck in the other. And then a nigga could be smart as a box of rocks. I mean, as smart as Einstein, but his fear is just driving him into a location that, you know, is dangerous, or just the need to be accepted by a certain crowd. Like, all that sort of shit, I wasn't raised like that, my nigga. You feel me? Like, I wasn't raised like that. And furthermore, just the reason I'm different and not like a lot of these crash dummies that call themselves gang members is because I wasn't raised by the aimless niggas outside, you know, who niggas call OGs. I was raised by my uncles, who was deep in the game, selling cocaine, very advanced, legends in the game, to where I'm just cut different. My ethics are different. I see shit different. And, you know, I can't, you know, give no medals to no yesterday hero ass niggas. And I'm definitely not finna put no shit on a pedestal and put nobody's respect before mine. That's not happening. You know what I mean? And thank God that we're in a time now to where how I see shit is just spot on to the bullshit. But 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years, everybody was like me. We just dying off, and the motherfuckers who do have the knowledge are, you know, they conform into the bullshit. They would rather have with my quote fingers in the air the bag and sacrifice their morals. You know what I mean? They would rather turn their head and act like they laughing the shit off and don't see the shit that the little nigga doing disrespecting them, or go put the tight jeans on with them. Go put the funny shit on with them. This is all shit that niggas is doing to live in these times. Like, they're trying to actually keep up with the times. And so be them. I mean, so be it. I don't have anything against that shit. I'm not mad at niggas, you feel me? I'm just saying that's
right.
Where the difference is. So when niggas start talking about me, I'm laughing at niggas. Because, you know, off top, you one of them niggas. You know what I mean? Like, nigga done, feel me? Like, it's just, and that's kind of like where I'm at with all this rap shit. Because the motherfuckers who I used to fuck with in terms of, like, musically, you'll catch them niggas doing some old goofball shit in 2020. Some straight goofball shit. Like, what the fuck? How the fuck? I mean, but...
You see,
like,
just
damn,
like some of the
bro.
Stuff I was seeing, though, that you was posting with Lil Pump and... What's that Trippie Red dude with the... He had the towel wrapped around like he was a female. And there's a lot of fragrant stuff I ain't never thought I'd see.
Man, this nigga Trippie Red was referenced on the Caution album. And I'm like, I tell the nigga Mass, like, Trippie Red, and I ain't never heard no Trippie Red, but if you say he dope, man, nigga, he like, nigga, that nigga shit dope, which I believe him. But just that fast, the nigga do some old weird shit, like, and just disappoint the nigga. The nigga got to jump completely off board. I said, see, nigga, Rakim would have never done no shit like that. See?
Nah.
You know what I mean? Nigga, Big Daddy Kane would have never done that. Ice Cube would have never in a million fucking years put a dress on. That's what I do know. You know? But
and
not nowadays.
The thing is,
though,
these guys. Yeah, it's like they music ain't hitting so hard, so they got to do the shenanigans to stay to get attention.
Man, again, bro. I hear you. Hey, look, I gotta take this call. I gotta call you back. Somebody called me from jail. Real gangster. All right,
man,
jail call. All right.
All right. That was Gonzo, y'all. He had to take care of a call. So we may be able to wrap this thing up, but this was a short interview that we wanted to do with him. He took the time to give us a 30 instead of a 10. So I'm going to end it on this note that we're going to play some Caution music, and I will see y'all tomorrow night. Be sure to check out the episode with Cocaine and Trill Will, and we'll holler back at you. Peace, y'all.
Nigga,
pop,
would you kill for me? I do it. I do it. I do it. For the rapping name, I do it. For the hood that I claim, I do it. Yeah, I do it. For the hood that I claim, I do it. For the rapping name, I do it.
It's a major gang stories to tell that I see within, living in the land of the hell. You getting crossed out with gangs. Loaded the curve, it's like every other house food banger, smoke curve, South Central. got me twisted. Survival is risked as I sneak a half a pint of gin in this whole mystic pack heat at all times. Use it in a drop of a dime for no G shit. Every time I kick a rhyme, I like to find rivals. An actual set they claim, told on yourself, nigga. Cause I can tell from where you hang and you a target. But why you on the bank with your face? You kick it with busters and each and every one of them was fake. So I'ma blast you. When the time is right, I'ma smash you at gunpoint. Jack motherfucker for what you mashing the song. Rob split the money up equal change and marriage to blend with the rest of the people. Cause I'm a Mac and I love fucking tight assholes. Because I know once we kick it, my dick is gonna get blow. I know the place and I can take you with me. That's my word, most rival niggas never get me. We can swerve.
Now as I sell through the army and my dog can smoke hunts on the streets for 6 weeks, now I'm smoking a blunt. I made the change from a rider to a powerful man. Besides my loyalty, can trust no man. Within the hour of the time, my only thought is the crime. I blasted any motherfucker, whoever dropping the dime. Now I'm a 96 old man, out the pen on time, and now I'm a clock in. I give a fuck what I spend, it don't matter the status and my position and my mission. It's my pockets to grow fat. My West Coast behavior got me kinda ill in the night. Hennessy got me tripping, they got me bombing on sight. Get the fuck out my area, nigga, the war zone. Tech lines be spitting before night and break dawn. Get up, I mean the calm, I'd rather get it on now. Who battles from dog pound? Got the gas for big fans. Dumping whatever I grab for. As a cobra with the fan of my attack, man, you know what I'm known for. Dad, fast as steel, with deacons hit the kid. You know the real, dollars and polish. Control the neighborhood constantly, the sole controller. You know my fucking gangster terminology, straight jack. Give it up, it's hopping and it's on the pop, putting your ass straight, but then forgot. Yeah. Would you kill for me?
I do it.
Would you die for me?
I do it.
Would you kill for me?
I do it.
For the rapper in the name,
I do it.
For the hood that I claim,
I do it.
What you
pass? I do it.
For the rapper in the name,
I do it. For the set that I claim.
Always screaming. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Break bread in the land of the scandalous. It's only us, so I must keep it loaded and cocked. But these niggas that I keep seeing circle the block, I can't stop throwing up this pack in the fool. Niggas mad cause I bombed on they homie in school for disrespecting. Sacked him and knew he had a weapon. Tripping off the berry, about to drop him any second. Call Kato, hit these niggas with the chrome and song. I'm Gonzo, fucking Richie Colion. It ain't no stopping when we rolling 5 deep. Crossing in the pound, nigga bound to creep. On you bitch ass niggas who don't know the deal. Motherfuck New York, a straight pull of steel and get the blasting. Blast every one of these motherfuckers you got right now.
Ever since 17, growing up in the LA scene. In the wood, the Mac 11s, 9s, and M16. Be my target, I need loot, nothing but loot. Hit the water thinking, motherfuck the world, I shoot. This mission I'm on, got me in the streets. With survival of the fittest, with niggas who pack heat. So lay low, we do low hits, like pits. It's going down like 15 tons of bricks. Fully equipped with the semi-autos, with the all-blue holster. Used to staying alive like Travolta. Alive in your vicinity, my vision is to be on top of the world. Like Jordan and avoid getting sniped like Kennedy. So I came up with my own fucking remedy. Now I don't know how to act, the homies all strapped. Packed on the block, with Glocks and 10 shots. Old fashioned pump action gauges, waiting for shit to pop. So they can check they nuts and see which nigga I can make drop. Proceed with caution, this here zone is hell. Buy niggas with a ticket to the train to hell. I'm dying for shit to start jumping. Gonzo, get the pump, but niggas was already jumping. On instinct, you can't service. Dads and sell on the corners with the all black burners. Smashing with evil side. About to bust tight to the outlaws. Niggas get touched.
Now I'm jumping off the screen, it's a tango race straight. The 9 block on I, so I'm swerving on the 8 with the Gordy Roy Street. I'm not just a clown with 2 pack girls, like quick in the dog pen. Right. Doing 65, headed down 51st. Caught out of light and couldn't get no worse. Damn. Niggas stacked in deep, the enemies online. Gotta come through spitting with my loaded chrome 9. And finna get the LX, pain is still great. Cause I know at least one note until where I stay. It's all drama, act stupid if you must. Just remember, I'm in the cut, eat it.
Back on, bro. Yeah, man, on that note. I'm about to sign up out of here. Peace out, motherfuckers.